Jesus is love in character, he's love in attitude, and he's love in action. And the culmination and supreme revelation of that love, of course, is the cross. How much does he love us? We just heard it, you know, 22 times, at least we know from that one passage alone. And but the cross. So it's not God, you know, sat down and had warm feelings. It's not that God, it was tangible, it was action. And that cross, we know how much he hates sin, and we know how much he loves us. He loves us. And the cross is how I know that he loves us. God is love, we have said. This is the high water mark of revelation. He is love. And it's not just about love, he is love. So humans, man, could not say this until he looked into the face of Jesus. There into the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so he saw the face of Jesus as the revelation of God. God is love. I think it comes as a revelation that God is love. I know that in many religions of the world, because they have no Jesus. They don't have a Jesus. We have something unique. Many groups could have lots of insights and principles and teachings, but no Jesus. See, Jesus is the ultimate revelation. He's the Logos. He's the Word of God made flesh among us. How powerful, how wonderful is that? That's the difference. This is not abstract love. But love is seen in the teaching, in the life, in the death, and the resurrection of our Lord. And so the idea of love in the gospel is guaranteed by the fact of Jesus. And that's so we would say God is agape. That's the Greek word. That's the Greek word for God, for love, is agape. And I can say this with all sincerity and honesty, that every day when I leave my home and I walk over here, I find myself saying, as I did even this morning, walking to the coffee shop, I found myself saying, I love you. I love you. Love you, Lord. Here I am, I'm just making my way over here. I love you. And I can't seem to not. His love compels me to say, I love you. I think he maybe waits for me to say it, but it's just something about that, that I love you, Lord. And it's not that I put that in my heart. I didn't try to love him. I found myself just loving him and wanted to say, I love you, God. Thank you for today. I love you. And I don't know how many times I find myself maybe saying that. Not because I felt it's some religious slogan, but just it's so true. I love you. I do. His love compels us. So there was two men commented about God. One was Plato, and one was John. And Plato said that God is not agape, that God is eros. God is eros. Agape is sacrificial giving. Matthew and Winnie have on their church. It's agape full gospel. It's sacrificial giving. Agape comes down. It's not upwards, down. He comes to us. He comes down. That I can't quite explain it, but I know that to be true. See, agape is God's grace. It's God's salvation. It's the work of divine love. Agape is unselfish love. It's not, it just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. It seeketh not its own, the scripture says. It gives itself away. Over and over and over and over again. Gives itself away. Sacrificial love. That's why Jesus on the cross, it's agape love. And agape is primarily God's love. That's mostly what it is. It's God's love, agape. And God, and you can remember this, God is agape. He's not eros. Eros is where we get the word erotic, where we get the word romantic, where we get, it's a form of love. It may be even a form of care, but it's not agape. And it comes down. It descends to us. It's powerful in all of its ways. And so God is striving to get across to us, to bring something across to where we are, to bring his love to us. His what? His agape love. He wants you to know that he doesn't care for you in some eros way. He cares for you with agape love. And it's always sacrificial. It always reaches out to us. So we find ourselves praying, Lord, take our love and change it from eros to agape. Lord, would you do that? Would you change it from eros to agape? Eros is the love that love for what it can get out of it. We love people for what they can give us in return. That would be eros love. If there is no love, then the love ceases. Now, I've wondered about this, that I suppose our church is quite average, evangelical church. It's quite average. It's very much the same as every other church on the North Shore, probably, I think. I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking that two-thirds of our church life is built around eros. And so people come and they get to know the Lord in some way, probably. But pretty soon they find out that one person wants healing from their sickness, and somebody else wants God to provide them with plenty of goods, and somebody else wants a home in heaven, and somebody else wants to be shielded from harm and danger. And it's all about what these people can receive. Two-thirds of church probably have come to get something. Now, God understands that, and he does supply our needs, but I think that church life can often be sub-Christian. So it goes, if I love God, then God will love me and give me stuff. And it always ends up for me. And so we do not love for God, we love God for me. What I will get out of it. Peace of mind. I may be troubled, so I want peace of mind. Happiness. Oh, I want happiness. People say, what do you want God to do? I just want to be happy. And that's how they feel about this. And so everything comes back to me. I'm in this moment, I'm the center of the universe. I've come to church because I want God to give me stuff. And not that he can't and not that he won't, but if the point of it is that it becomes our motivation. It's not agape love, it's eros love. It's what I can get out of it, what I can receive from it. Everything serves me. There's a kind of a self-centeredness about it many times. And so we find ourselves praying a prayer, Father, in Jesus' name, by your agape, convert my eros into your agape. Convert me. Whereas I've been trying to get things, wanting things, which again in one way is not so wrong, but it misses the point. Lord, change, convert my eros into your agape. And so we do not get to God. So, you know, and if you talk to people, you say, what is this faith all about? Well, it's getting to God. We get to God, and God comes down to us. And we say, no, I don't think that's how it works at all. We don't get to God. See, God sacrifices himself. He comes down to us. Always God, the God who comes down to us. He comes to us in incarnation, and he meets us where we are. And all other religions, I think this would probably be true, all other religions teach us that we find God at the top of the ladder. When you get to the top, see, what is? Well, it's people all going up a ladder. They've got different ladders. And we're climbing the same ladder, only on different rungs. And you're climbing over here, and you're climbing up. We're all going upward on our own steam. on our own ability. We're going up. And we think that we find God at the top of the ladder. And so we climb. We climb up. This is the view. We climb up by laws. We climb up by rules. We climb up by self-purification. We climb up by discipline. We climb up by slogans. But the Christian faith teaches that God finds us where we are. This is the kind of love. God so loved that he came down the ladder for you. We're not going up. We're not reaching up to some higher ladder. We're at the bottom rung. And we don't know what's going to happen to us. And we're scared spitless over it because we're so unworthy. And here we are ascending. When in our minds we're ascending, but we're actually at the lowest rung as sinners. This love doesn't make sense at all if you don't see yourself as a sinner. It's just gobbledygook. Love, 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 love. It's all about... No, listen, this is about sinners who were at the bottom of the ladder, who God came down that ladder to us. And we haven't over... And this agape love, it just stunts us. And we can't stop saying, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you. We can't stop it. It's just touched our souls and our hearts at the deepest level. So the Father has shown us pure agape. Absolutely pure. No other motives other than you and me. We're the reason he came down. Herein is love. We didn't climb any ladder. We weren't even looking for the ladder. The ladder came down in Jesus to care for us and to come into our hearts. We love, the writer says, because he first loved us and came down that ladder to us. And when we tell people, they always think, well, what do I have to do? Where do I sign up? Or where's the, we say, no, you don't have to do anything. Just open your heart to him. And you open your heart, the love of, you know, many people have never experienced God's love. I mean, many people who've come to our church, they've never experienced it. They said, oh, I sang some songs and maybe clapped our hands or came forward for prayer or something. But they never can say, you know, I went to church and I experienced this incredible agape love that I've never experienced before. I experienced God's love. That's our heart's desire that would be that way. That would be wonderful if somebody would, but many times that is not the story. It's God simply coming down. You don't have to do anything. I believe he will reveal his love to us if we want him to. So Lord, it's a prayer. Lord, you do love me, not out of your wants and your needs, but out of your fullness. God loves us out of his fullness, not out of his wants. He doesn't need you. We say, people, God needs people, and he's there. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. They're the last thing he needs is me. He doesn't need me. But out of his fullness, he comes to me and says, I want you. I want you. I want you, and I'm going to capture you. And I'm going to flood you with agape. You'll never recover the reality of the love of God. Lord, your agape overwhelms me. I'm stunned and staggered by this. What love to undeserving people who we don't even get it. I'm sure we don't. Most of the time, we don't get it. As Lauren Pritchard used to say, grace is wasted on most of us. It's true. Your agape overwhelms me. Not Plato's eros, but this sacrificial God who at the price of his life gives himself to us and then promises to come and live inside of us and live his life. He says, I don't expect you to serve me. I will love through you and minister through you for the rest of your life if you let me. And that's the end of the story. That's how it works. It's not a matter that you get in, all of a sudden all the rules change, now you got to work for something. No, it's not. It's just this amazing gift of grace that's based and built in love, so that you come to this 1 John passage of 22 verses and counting, is that you realize that the immensity of his love. That's where he says, God is love, God is love, God is love. He said, if you do not love, you don't have God, because if you love God, you would really care about him. See, his agape creates and inspires agape in us. It inspires agape in us. So powerful. You see, loving God with God's love, or loving people with God's love. Because here's the thing. He says, first of all, that he loves us over and over and over and over again. And we think that's the end of the story, but he says, now, I want you to love people the way I love you, with the same agape. That's what he wants. Loving people with God's love. Why? Because I don't have what it takes. I don't find, at least my track record thus far, it's not very good. I find myself biased. I find myself, you know, upset at people. People annoy me. Talk about loving them, I can hardly stand them. And I'm the pastor. And I'm sure people around say, I can hardly stand that guy. Is he ever gonna, you know? So let's not fool ourselves. It's not a measure. You know, I'm just oozing over with such warm feelings. Can you feel the love? yeah, I don't know. But God loves us not because we're good. It's not because we're good. And it's not because we're worthy that he got a real catch in me. He didn't get a catch. He didn't get a catch in any of us. But he loves us, end of the line, period. He loves us. If you want to read the bulletin article that I wrote about that, he loves us. We're not worthy. We're not good. I can have good moments, but I'm not basically good. I'm basically selfish. I want something. I want a return. I want something to come back on what I'm doing. I want people to notice me. So we're loved not when we are good, and not because we are deserving, but because of, and not because of anything that we are. It's not because of that. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, herein is love, not that we loved him. He loved us first. It's called the doctrine of prevenient grace. The doctrine of prevenient grace. That God was there first. That we're going up the ladder trying to find God, and he's already beat us. He's already come down the ladder to love you. As you are, the way you are. See, this love that I'm talking about, this agape, it produces love in us in return. We love because we first loved him. It's not our love for him that cures us, but it's his love for us that cures. I'm going to say that again. It's not our love for him. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. It's not that, but it's his love for us. It's him being first. And that love for us awakens love in us. You cannot taste of agape and not have your life impacted. And that's why John is writing, he said, he that knows God loves. And and that love for us awakens love that where maybe I didn't care about that individual, or it wasn't, you know how it is, we are with people. And so yet, when I let God fill me with agape, I find myself being much more repentive. I find myself saying, well, you know, I feel more sorry for them than I do angry at them anymore. The damage is done, but I'll try to love them. Then you realize you can't. That it does not work by trying. That his love, agape, awakens something in us to love him and love others, because we begin to love in response. I sense it and I feel it, and I'm encouraged by his love. It makes me whistle and it makes me like everything. I find myself liking things. I like trees now. I like puppies. I like pretty well everything. Love. Not eros, but God. I love things. I don't remember that before so much, maybe, but all I'm saying is that something is awakened in you. If you experience agape, something will awaken in you in love for people without you trying to make it happen. So we begin to love in response. We begin to love Him, and we begin to love others, because love begets love. I'll say some more things. God's agape produces agape in me. So the answer is not for me to lecture for you to be more loving or for me to be more loving. That'd be totally counterproductive. That would not help anything. It doesn't work like it's this. Lord, I can't love those people or that individual. You must love them through me. You must love them through me. See, I can't. I grit my teeth and I tight-lipped, but I just find them quite annoying, or I find them really distasteful, or I just don't trust them. And we always have a reason for why we don't love people, but it comes across this way that honors Him. Lord, I can love and only love with agape, with yours, with your love. And so, dear Lord, I'm grateful. I do not, and catch this, Lord, dear Lord, I am grateful. I do not have to love, but I have to allow love to love me into loving. I'll say it one more time. I'm grateful I don't have to love. That's not the way it produces. I don't have to love. I have to allow love to love me into loving. In other words, the more I focus on God's love, the more I find that I love people. You'll have to love through me. So He loves us into loving. It's kind of like a trick. He overflows you where you say, I thank God for His love. I thank God for the joy of that love and the peace of that love and everything about it. It was, Lord, it was a happy day when I met You. And Your love is filling me and contenting me and touching me, caring for me and being patient with me. Such love, God, I have experienced. Have you not the same? Have you not experienced that your whole experience from God, from the day that you gave your heart to Jesus to this day, it has been a journey of love? That's what it was. It wasn't performance. You didn't have to do anything. You had to simply say, God, I open my heart to You. I need Your love. And He floods it in. He floods with You with agape. And then He tricks us. He just keeps exposing us to His agape. And we find ourselves being patient with that kind of person or that person or that other person. We didn't even try. Wasn't even trying to do it. It was just somehow I don't hate them anymore. How did that come about? Right? How did that come about? I don't know how it, I don't actually know how it operates, but I know that it must operate. You see, you don't have to have a highly developed love. You know, you can be a new Christian or a Christian, you know, on the journey, not too far along. And you don't have to have this highly developed thing. God will meet you right where you are. All you need, now here's the truth of it. All you need is to expose yourself to His love and let that love operate. Let it operate. And He loves us into loving just by drawing near to us. And that love is irresistible. Totally irresistible. He loves us into loving. And you'll have to, and I find myself praying this, Lord, You'll have to love through me today, for my love is not sufficient. It isn't. I fall short. You know, one of the greatest failings of a church is not that we didn't grow or not that we were famous for this or for that. The greatest tragedies of a church is when we fail in love, when we fail to love. We just shut ourselves down and we didn't love. We failed in love. And I have failed in love many, many times. I didn't love them the way God wanted me to love them. I got my eros in the way that I could not receive the agape. I just was disappointed with them or whatever. I can think of a thousand stories, but all I'm saying is I failed in love. And as a church, I know many times we have failed in love. We didn't maybe mean to, but we failed. We failed to love the way we should have and treat people sometimes the way we should have treated them. But we're just being human, I guess, in many ways. So God loves us into loving, and he's quite sufficient at changing us if we will say, Lord, convert me from eros to agape, this divine self-sacrificing. I remember when I got married, Val and I were married together, and the people marrying us had said something about this now sacrificial love. Now, they didn't use the word agape, but that's what it was, is that it's you have to love the Lord with God's love. So as you sacrifice, if you sacrifice yourself, that would be agape. And you're learning over the years how to show agape love over and over and over and over again. By the way, that's how marriage works. You have to love them with a higher love. I drive my wife crazy. And I can be, I know it seems cute to you, but it's not as cute when you're living with me. apparently. I just know how it works. If I will love my wife with agape love, we'll always, always work it out. If I just try to, see, you mustn't, when you leave here today in a few minutes, you must not try to love. That's not how it works. You will just be a religious person trying to be something religious. And you just forget about trying. Just say, God, fill me with agape love, sacrificial love. Your love, the same love that sent you to the cross, filled in me. And what will happen? You'll find yourself loving the person that you weren't planning on. It will change you. God's love in it. And so the writer, as he's talking about this, like verse 17, by this love perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Oh, he said, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So many amazing, amazing verses about the necessity to love. Now, we must love, but we don't do it by trying. We're doing it by opening our heart and telling God that you would want his love to be in you, to flow over all of us, and to watch what he would do. It's when I was skipping across the road to come here this morning, I was conscious of, I said, Lord, as I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But I don't want it to be just in word only. Cause me, his love was his teaching, his life, his death, his resurrection. That's all part of it. It wasn't just sitting down and having warm feelings. It's about letting the Lord work just as he was in the world, so we are in the world. And we just allow him to fill us. And you know what the best way to start? Start with where you feel an area where you haven't, that you may have failed to love the way you should have. Because I would like to think if people came in here, they wouldn't necessarily say, wow, the music's really good and the people's, I'd like to think that they came in and said, you know, I could feel and sense that there was a love in there that wasn't just nice people. They weren't just nice people. I thought that there was something supernatural, you know, something that just, that they touch and they say that I just felt somehow there was an agape love. Can you imagine a church with agape love just flowing in it all as a way of life? And where we fail, we simply repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I failed in love, because that's the greatest failure of all. And I thank you for forgiving me. Lord, now love through me. And haven't you had many times? I know I have. I've had to go to people and say, listen, I'm sorry. That was rude of me. I shouldn't have said that. I was just trying to be funny. And it wasn't funny to you, and I'm sorry. Now, what is that? No, that's an repent, like as an apology, but then to say, Lord, convert me from eros to agape. I don't want to do that again to that person. So, Lord, by your love, may I do that. So, amen. Let's stand. As we close in prayer, you know, this is a journey. I'm 66 years old, or young. Maybe that's better. And I can't believe that I'm learning about God's love. Have I not caught it yet? Apparently not. Because I'm still blown away by his agape. And I suspect I'm never going to ever get over this. I praise him for his love for me. Let it flow out of you. Let it operate. Just as we would operate, you know, in the gifts or something, or we'd operate and there's a flow. Let your life somehow be impacted. That you'd say, Lord, I can't do that, but you could through me. You know, I find that a person annoying, but you don't. So I'm going to simply say yes to you. And as we go through things, it's amazing that there could be those kind of changes where you've been self-centered and self-oriented and you kind of, most things were coming towards you. Somebody say, God, that's not the kind of love. I want agape love in my life. And don't be happy, don't be satisfied with anything else but this amazing, unbelievable agape. That's what John is trying to tell us. So let's pray. Lord, Lord, you exceed my expectations. When I thought you would be a wonderful God, I had no idea how you would stun me and stagger me. And Lord, I'm no doubt one of the happiest people in the world because I've experienced your love. And I know most people here have too. Lord, I pray that you'll just talk to us and guide us. Is there anybody I need to go to where I've injured or just haven't loved them enough? I pray, God, that your Spirit of God would be upon us and that we would we'd be filled with to overflowing with the love of Christ. Thank you, God, for everything and all joyous, glorious things that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.